Genesis chapter 50. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to preach tonight. I was thinking before the service that I might have preached this message here before. I don't normally say that before I preach. But I was thinking about that, and I thought I might have preached this message last time I was here when I preached. And when I thought about that, I thought I'm going to get up and get my different message. And the Lord kept me glued to my seat and said, no, you need to preach this message again. And I said, okay, typically, you know, I want to double. I don't know if I can't remember. I don't remember. But this is why. Because the message ties into this morning to a point, but it's a message that something that God has been doing in my heart every single day. And it's a truth, honestly, that if we don't get it, it's hard to live our life. And you'll see what I mean in a moment, but it's something that I really feel like the Lord has for us tonight. And I feel like there's somebody here, and I know the guy in the pulpit needs it tonight and the truth of God's word. And so Genesis chapter 50, we'll be there in just a second. How many of you ever had a bad day? Nope. None of the rest of you have ever had a bad day? You're going to be like, what are you talking about? No, I don't have bad days? Okay. I am a walking 24-hour bad day. Every day is, you know, sometimes happens to me. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen to me. You know what I'm talking about? You're one of those people? If it happens, you know, something breaks, you break it, not the person next to you. That's me. Things that I'll plan, man, we got it planned out, and it falls apart. I'll break this, do this. I was just talking to someone, one of my team members, about different, you know, ailments that I've got from playing sports back in the day. You know, a hip here, two knees, both ankles, broke my toe, my big toe, 6 times. How's that even possible? It hurts all the time just standing on it. I don't know. Ask me how. It's some of the dumbest things I've ever done in my life. It's happened to me, okay? I was out in Florida. We were there in 2015 last time I brought a team through. And we went deep sea fishing. Mm-hmm. That is a fun sport and thing, fun thing to do if you go with the right people. We went deep sea fishing, and it was a fun time, or at least it was going to be. But the first warning bell should have been when the guy's wife said, "We saw, are you going?" And she's like, "Nope." My wife and I didn't think about that until after this trip. So we went out there. We're 2 miles out. Well, first things first, we get in the boat and we are on our way to the, you know, the place to get some bait fish. We're going about 2 miles out, and things are falling off the boat. I'm not talking, you know, when you're going fast out there, I get it. Things are falling off the boat. You know, if you're not, I'm talking about pieces of the boat are falling off the boat. Okay, we're at max speed. Okay, half my team is absolutely loving it. Half my team is feeding the fish, and I'm not talking about with food. Okay. It was one of those tides. We're out there and I was doing great. Okay. Now we went several times out in the Gulf on this trip to Florida just a few weeks ago, and I've been great. But in that time, the guy's like, "Hey, if you have any trouble, if you feel seasick, look at the shoreline." I was doing fine until that exact second. All of a sudden, where's the shoreline? Okay. They're right there. I literally spent 2 hours staring at the shoreline the whole entire time. Well, we're out there, and we're just bait fish, and guys are having a great time. One of my buddies is not having a great time. And all of a sudden, my wife looks at me and goes, "Hey, baby, look at this guy." I looked out there, and you know how it works in the summertime in Florida. There were some dark clouds. Now, it was a dark, massive dark clouds here and massive here. There's a break in the middle, and they were coming like this. I looked at my phone, looked at the radar, and they were two storms. They weren't just red. They were like purplish red. And that little blue dot that says, "You are here," yeah, they were coming at us. So I was like, "Oh, this is great." So we're starting to, you know, wind's picking up, you know, the waves are picking up, not helping anything at that moment. And we're like, "Hey, brother, you know, look at the sky." He's like, "Oh, no, it'll be fine." "Hey, brother," you know, every couple minutes and finally he looks up, he's like, "Oh, boy, this is a problem." I'm like, "Yes, sir." And he goes to his boat and he turns, you know, whatever you turn to turn the boat on. Nothing. It was dead. We're like, "Oh boy, this is really not good here." So the boat's not working, and now literally we are spinning in circles and going up and down. And I'm like, "Hey, should we call the Coast Guard?" He's like, "No, it'd take an hour to get here. It'd be too late." We're like, "Well, too late? What are we talking about?" So I just start praying. I mean, my wife and I, we are praying. We have a prayer meeting in the back there. I'm serious. And some of the guys are still fishing on the front of the boat, oblivious to what is going on. And we're looking at life in that situation, right? And I could see the wall of water, like just, you know, the wall of rain just coming at us. And it was getting pretty choppy out there, really choppy. And I'm not a water, like, I don't swim really well. And so out in the middle of the water, I mean, I had a life jacket on. You know, I don't want to sit in the middle of the Gulf, you know, for too long. Anyways, there's sharks down there. So he finally gets the thing out of the back, and we take off for shore. There was no braking, no throttle down ability. So we slam into the pier finally. We outrun it just finally. It was one of the most miserable nights. We were just kind of wet and cold and everything. And it was one of those days we started out like, yeah, deep sea fishing. We ended up saying, I don't think I'm ever going to deep sea fishing again. I did do it on this last trip here, and it actually turned out. But you know, you've had those days where everything was planned out perfectly and everything turned out wrong, right? But you can look back and laugh about it. There's somebody in Scripture, Joseph, the 11th of 12 sons of Jacob, Joseph, where every single thing in his life turned out wrong. It seemed like at the beginning, right? You couldn't get any worse. He went through hardship after trial, after injustice, after misunderstanding, after attack, a life full of horrible things, Christian. And what does he do? He blesses God. After all the trials, he blesses God. Here in Genesis chapter 50, Jacob dies. His Joseph's brothers come to him, and they are scared humanly. They have a reason to be scared. They come to him and they're scared and they say, hey, don't hurt us. But look at the end of 17. Joseph wept when they spake unto him. Shows his heart of compassion. And they fall down. They're like, hey, man, we're your servants and everything else. I mean, they're trying everything. Man, he's going to kill us. Dad's gone. And he had the right to. But look at verse number 19. Joseph said to them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good. God meant it unto good. To bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Lord, help us tonight in these few short minutes. Speak to my heart, Lord. Pray you'd speak through me. Help me to get out of the way. Pray hearts would be turned towards you. Help us to obey you and take the steps of obedience you'd have us to take. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Joseph, who was threatened with death by his brothers, thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, wrongly accused of immorality, forgotten in prison, trusted God each time. What about you, Christian? We're in the middle of an incredibly difficult, strange, unusual, hard time in America right now. Not only do we have COVID-19 and the pandemic happening all around the world, especially in America right now, we have all the unrest and all the intrigue going on in America behind the scenes and all the different things that are happening. And I will tell you, if you read the news, just read the news, you can get discouraged. But I'm looking at some people in this room. You're here on a Sunday night and you're sold out to Jesus Christ the best you know how, but you're here in this room, and maybe you've gone through some hardships. Maybe COVID-19 to some people was just an annoyance, or is an annoyance. Unfortunately, it's still a present thing. Maybe some of you in this room, COVID-19 was a huge trial. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you have some financial instability. Maybe some relationships gone bad because of this. Maybe there's some death in the family. Something that's happened in your life because of this trial that's very, very hard. You know, some of you in here might have been reacting right to it, but some of you in here might be at the end of yourself and ready to throw in the towel. When I was growing up, I would play basketball with my brother, okay? And we have some great times, but he would always win because I was a little guy and he was big at the time. When I got big, he didn't play with me anymore, which was smart for him. But we would be winning 20-3, you know, game of 21, and I would always, I'd be losing, I would take the ball before he won, I'd go inside. He hated that. You would too, right? He hated that. He was like, come on, quitter, come on, come on, get inside. But I'm like, I'm done. I don't want to play anymore. And maybe that's some of you would hear. Maybe some of you have gotten to the point with this trial, with this pandemic, where you say, I'm done. I don't want this anymore. Let me say something tonight. When life doesn't make sense, remember, God's plans are always good. Can I say that again? When life doesn't make sense, remember, God's plans are always good.
Do you believe that tonight, Christian?
Look at two key points about God's plan, then close it up about what our response should be. We'll be done very quickly. Number one, mystery of God's plan for my life. Life just doesn't make sense. I will tell you, more than any other time in my lifetime, and I'm only 32, life does not make sense. When this whole thing started and all the regulations started coming down, I serve on staff at Falls Baptist Church. I was telling the pastor, we had like three days in a row, I think it was, we had 2-3-4 hour staff meetings. And we had to because we had no idea. Things were changing so fast. We have a college. So we're going from all of a sudden we're in the middle of a semester and boom, done. And we're not an online college at all. The purpose of our college is to be at the college, at the church, training there. So with a matter of days, every single staff meeting, we would end the staff meeting with different directives from the state or the county coming through for what's going to happen. And it was crazy. We were so whipped and tired and what's going to happen and what's this and that. And I will tell you, get to a point in the end of March and into the beginning of April. Now, I'll be honest, be transparent. I was not happy with life at all. I was upset. There were times I was very upset at what was going on. You know, you see what's going on, and you're like, this is not fair, and this isn't right, and da-da-da-da-da. And sometimes you don't understand what God has for your life. You ask, why is God's plan such a mystery for me? Two reasons, very simple. Number one, he's God. He doesn't have to share his plans with us. Isaiah 55, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Romans 11, verse 33, oh, the depth and the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. God, the creator God, doesn't have to share his plans with his creation. And the number two reason, I think the most important reason why God's plan is sometimes a mystery to me and to you is because we're human. You say, well, thanks for that information. Very deep there, Brother McGellar. No, we're human. We want to know, because if we did know, maybe I'm the only one that would do this, but if we did know there was a trial coming, we would do everything in our power to avoid it. You go through a store, right, down at Publix, right, and there's a massive tomato soup spill in aisle 3. How many of you go walking straight through it? I mean, my daughter would. My son would crawl through it. I mean, he would love it. But we don't. There's a sign that says, hey, look out. Be careful. We don't walk right through it. If it says bridge out, okay, bridge out on the road, except for some of the, you know, junior hires, you know, or, you know, high school or 16-year-olds, they can get licensed. I'm not sure when you can get licensed here. You know, they would probably drive around and see what was going on. If you saw bridge out, you wouldn't go, yes, this is my opportunity to test how far my car can jump. Right? We would go around if we saw a sign. If God said, you're going to be in a car accident at this time, at this road, tomorrow, you would avoid that road at that time. Because you don't want to be in that trial. We're human. But God doesn't do it that way. God sometimes, most of the time, sends a trial our way out of nowhere. Why? Well, it's for our growth. It's hard sometimes, but it's for our growth. My young little guy, he's learning how to walk. You see him walking around, falls down. And sometimes his falls are not pretty. He crashes and falls. My little daughter, she falls out of the car yesterday, okay? She fell out of the transit van, you know, about 2.5 feet. She went right down on her backside, and fortunately her head didn't get hit. It was really close to being a bad one, but she wasn't paying attention. She backed out and just stepped out of the van. Well, lesson learned. I don't think she's going to be backing out of the van anytime really soon. A year and a half ago, she walked down 2 cement stairs without the handrail, without me. She just kind of bolted off, fell down the 2 stairs, had blood everywhere. To this day, she walks down those stairs at our church and says, hey, Daddy, I got to hold your hand so I don't fall. She's learned her lesson. If I bubble wrapped my kids and rolled them through life, they would be safe. But they would never learn the lessons that life has for them, and they would never grow. Christian, we try to bubble wrap ourselves and insulate ourselves from trials. We will never grow like God wants us to. You ever heard somebody say, I would never trade this trial for $1 million? And you look at that person saying, your life stinks right now. That trial's awful. It's because they understand the wealth that they're gaining from the trial, the growth in their lives. Joseph had that. He started with family rejection. He was hated by his brothers. Genesis chapter 37, Jacob gave him basically overseership of all the brothers. Probably not the wisest parenting move of all time. But he did. He loved him more than all his brothers, and they hated him for that. And so he had family rejection. He had physical hurt. He was thrown into a pit, threat of death. He was given total humiliation, sold into slavery, unbelievably degraded to who he was. He's taken away to Egypt, and you think that's the end of it. He's a slave, he's going away. No, he's taken to Potiphar's house, and he's the head of the house. By the way, side note, he wasn't probably not a bitter, angry person to be in charge of Potiphar's house. And then Potiphar's wife tempts him with a horrible temptation, and Joseph runs from the temptation. Let me say this right here. Joseph would never have run from the temptation if Joseph was bitter and angry. Did you know that? When you're bitter and angry and you're upset at life, what happens? You fall. We collapse when the temptations and trials come. He runs away, but slandered character. He got slandered character because that cloak was left and Potiphar's wife went after him. He was taken to prison. And you think he's at the bottom of the bottom, and he gets to prison, the butler and the baker, they give him the dreams, he does it, the butler says, I won't forget you, and he forgets him. And when you think it could never get worse, he's abandoned, complete abandonment. And at this point, maybe some of you feel like that right now. Maybe some of you feel like, I'm at the bottom, Brother Van Gelman, you have no idea. I am at the bottom, I'm here at church, I plaster a smile on my face. By the way, Christians are really good at faking it. You know somebody who's real, like real, real. But sometimes we get confused with the people who are just kind of faking it in the middle. And maybe you got the smile plastered on, got all the good Sunday clothes on, and inside, you're at the bottom. You know, God's going to give you a time where there's a revelation of His plan. Genesis 41 is where it happened for Joseph. Genesis chapter 41, you don't have to turn there. But Genesis 41, the butler remembers because of a dream. He remembers Joseph. And Pharaoh brings Joseph out of jail. And he's there in front of him. And Joseph, a man who has gone through so many trials. He has gone through so many hardships. It's unfair, unjust, not right. What does Joseph say? Pharaoh says, hey, got a dream. Tell me. Interpret it. Joseph answered Pharaoh in verse 16. Says, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. The first thing out of Joseph's mouth was not, finally, man. This has gotten long. What in the world? This is not even fair. No. First thing he says, hey, I can't tell you, but God can. Verse number 25. God has shown favor. Verse 28. What God is about to do. Verse 32, established by God. Everything Joseph's saying is my God, Jehovah God, He can do it. He can show you. Pharaoh, my God is in charge. Hey, Pharaoh, my God has a control over what's going on. Pharaoh, God can do it. Doesn't sound like a bitter young man. Doesn't sound like somebody who's overwhelmed by his trials. Sounds like somebody who's trusting his God. And what does it say, verse number 38? Pharaoh said to his servant, can we find such a one as this is? A man in whom the Spirit of God is. Let me stop here and ask you a question. Christian, at the end of a trial, when you're coming out of a trial, what do people see? Can we find such a one as this? Wow. You've been around those who have gone through the hardest trials and they exude the Spirit of God. Then you've been around those that come through the hardest of trials and they're angry and they're bitter and they can't wait to make it up with somebody. You know what I'm talking about? What about you? What was the revelation of God's plan for Joseph's life? He put him in charge of the whole land. He was in charge of all of Egypt underneath Pharaoh, and because of his leadership, his family was saved and the known world at that time from famine. His leadership and his guidance, and I will tell you this, it wasn't just that part of the plan that God had in mind. God gave him leadership opportunities in the Potiphar's house and in the prison to become the young man that could lead the known world. God doesn't make a mistake. God's plan is perfect because he knows the future. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you," said the Lord, "thoughts of peace and not of evil." Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." Do you believe that verse? All things work together for good. If on your GPS tonight, on the way home, or you're doing somewhere, or sometime this week, you put a GPS and you put it in and it takes you complete other direction. You're supposed to go north and it takes you south. And you're supposed to go east, it takes you west. You would try to get the GPS turned around, work it out, because you know it's going the wrong direction. Sometimes God's GPS of your life looks like it's going the wrong direction. But God knows the destination where he wants to deposit you. God knows where he wants you to go. And let me ask you a question, Christian. Are you following his plan for your life? Talking about God's will, setting your face towards God's will this morning. Are you setting your face towards God's will every step of your life? Not just coming to church, but in everything God would have for you. The revelation of God's plan for life. God's plan is perfect because he knows the future. God's plan is perfect because he loves me. Do you believe that? He loves you. There's so many verses in the Bible about that. One of my favorites, Romans 8, 38 and 39. Won't read it, but the verse about nothing can separate me from the love of God. So we've seen tonight the mystery of God's plan. We've seen where he reveals his plan, and God will show you. I will tell you, Christian, there'll be times where God will say, "Hey, you know, I had all of these things, and look now. See this? It's perfect. Look at all these problems. Maybe I took this person away from you, or maybe this money was taken away, this job, and maybe these hardships, and you don't understand, but hey, look what I've done for you." And you know what? God doesn't always reveal why during the trial. Many times he waits till after. But when you trust God and you rest, God will show you. God reveals. Now, number three, the acceptance of God's plan for my life, responding to the trials. 3 points quickly and we're done. Number one, reject bitterness and discouragement. Let me tell you right now, you have to reject the bitterness and discouragement that can come in your life. I've been through some trials in my life, not the hardest of hard, but some pretty tough ones. I grew up with a brother who, when he was 2 years old, was given 0% chance to live. He's the only living survivor in the world of his type of brain tumor. He's 42 years old. He has 40 years past his due date, and it's awesome. It's amazing. But he's missing the left lobe of his brain. He's handicapped. He graduated from college. He's smart as a whip. But he's missing his left lobe of his brain. So there's things that he cannot do, and there's things that, reasoning ability, different things, that's not there. I will tell you this. It was a difficult trial. In 10th grade in my life, it was a relapse of scar tissue in his brain, and it laid him flat. And I will tell you this. I went home for a month I went home from school as a 10th grader. I had to carry my brother up and down the stairs and bathe him and do everything for my brother. And I will tell you this. I sat in my room exhausted. I didn't know which way to turn. I didn't sleep at night. He couldn't sleep because he was sitting up in bed. He couldn't control anything. His brain had taken over what was going on. And I couldn't sleep. My mom was taking a shift one night. I've gone days without sleep. I sat in my room just crying, the 10th grader. And I thought to myself, I remember this one time thinking, "God, why?" And it was like God saying, "I'm doing this for you." And I will tell you this, from that time, was about 15 years old until I was 25, I left the house 10 years later, got married. Every night I tucked my big old brother in bed. God taught me a lot about myself. I was a selfish little guy who thought all about himself. And that trial brought me closer to the Lord and brought me closer to my brother. And I tell you this, I wouldn't trade that for anything. All the money in the world times infinity. It's an incredible trial and gift. And it was hard. It's still hard. My brother's, it's a lot. My dad's 66 years old and still has a son at home. It's not easy. And he's handicapped there. It's hard. But I will tell you this. God has a purpose for all those things. And if you get bitter and get discouraged, it's going to ruin what God has for your life. Trials and difficulties reveal our true character. It's like a tube of toothpaste. When you squeeze a tube of toothpaste, does peanut butter come out? Some people are like, "Yeah, that's awesome." You know? I hope not, right? Squeeze a tube of toothpaste, out comes toothpaste. It's like that in a trial. Your life is squeezed, what comes out? Number two, choose thankfulness and joy. And this is really where it comes down to, Christian. Let me ask you a question. Have you thanked God for the trial you're in right now? Have you thanked God? Not thank God. You know, Lord, thank you for the trial you gave me 10 years ago. No. Lord, thank you for the fact that I lost my job. Brother Van Gelen, you're nuts. No, I'm not. The Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Giving thanks always for all things. God put it all in there. I will tell you, it changes everything when you start thanking God. I came home one day, having a bad day. I don't know what was going on. I was close to the pandemic thing. And I came home, and I was sitting in my living room, and I was grouchy. I was just growly about life. And I remember sitting there, the Lord dealing my heart. I remember looking around and starting to thanking God for the things, just the objects that God had given to us in our living room alone. Thank you, God, for this clock you gave us for $3 at Hobby Lobby. It's a big old wooden clock. It's beautiful, but thank you for that. Thank you for giving us this leather chair that I'm sitting on. Thank you for... I started to think... About 30 seconds into thanking God for those things, the devil ran away with that discouragement. He was gone. And I was rejoicing about what God wanted for my life. Just started thanking God. Just thanking... You say, Brother Van Gelen, you don't know my life. I have nothing to be thankful for. Whoa, hold up, Christian. Are you saved tonight? Do you have eternal life tonight, Christian? For nothing else, tonight you can say, God, thank you for how good you are to me, for saving my sinful soul from hell. Christian, I will tell you what, we can sometimes be so ungrateful to a God who has given us everything. Just recently, I had a friend of mine, one of my closest friends, give me a $5,000 car, a Chevy Impala 2014 LTZ. I needed a car, he gave it to me, signed the title over to me. Sometimes during our pandemic and I was having a bad day, my wife would just point at the car. Look at that car. God gave us that car. He gave him the house I live in. Incredible story of what God's done. It's incredible. God takes care of his children, and the trials doesn't mean he's not taking care of you. He's growing us. Rejoice and thank God and trust God's goodness. Genesis 50, what does he say? You thought evil. Satan thought evil. Satan attacks and things happen. The world goes after and trials happen and things are hard. But God meant it unto good. Why? To save much people alive. God saved the world at that point, and most importantly, his family. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Christian, we can say amen. We can say I believe that. But what does your life say? What is every day? What is when the lights are out and it's just you and your mind and your thoughts? Are you thanking God for the hardships? I've not been perfect every day. Don't, you know, what's going on in the news or what's going on in this? And I've been hearing things, and I'm on staff at the church. So all the things of the church and the college, and it's people. And sometimes people can hurt you, and sometimes things can hurt. Or you watch people get hurt and you're thinking, why? No, God's always good. Always good. There's a friend of mine, pastor friend, in another state up north, and he has some pretty tough trials. Pretty tough trials. Some physical things in his life with his family. And his wife and my wife are friends as well. And there'll be times where we're struggling about something and we know what they're going through is way worse. And we'll get a text in the morning that just says, hey, God is good all the time. It's like slap in the face. Wow. And you know they're trusting him. God is good all the time. Let me read you a poem and I'm done. I've gone over time tonight. Let me just read you a quick poem. My sister wrote this 10 years ago. It's about Joseph. It's from Joseph's perspective. It says this. As on that lonely path I walked with weary, dusty feet, a painful cry suppressed within my heart longed to retreat. But no, in ropes, I walked forth bound, my future now unknown. And to this land I did not know, I walked that path alone. Oh, all around the crowd was thick with merchants, slaves, and wares. Yet all alone I walked this path with none to share my cares. They did this evil unto me. They put me on this path. The ones that here on earth I loved outpoured their cruel wrath. In mockery, the desert sun beat hard upon the land, reflecting visions of my dreams. Mirages in the sand. And from cracked lips my cry arose, directed to the sky. These dreams from you shall wither here. Of thirst my soul shall die. With every labored step I took, my wounded soul grew numb. Life as I knew, a fading mist. fate's slave I'd now become. But as I walked, the love of God upon my path did shine, and his own loving, tender voice spoke to this heart of mine. O Joseph, do not fear this path that I have made for you. The promises I've given you, doubt not, they shall come true. These great words, I paused, confused. I could not understand how this path, caused by hateful strife, was formed of God's own hand. Then whistling through my wandering thoughts, the driver's whip did crack and push me forward on the path, pain searing through my back. Now violently, my thoughts swirled round as dust on traveled trail. But then God's voice, like calming wind, dispelled the hazy veil. Look not behind, O weary one, at hurt which brought you here. Nor look down through the path, this present trial to fear. But only look ahead in faith and trust. I am your God. Hold tight the dreams I've given you. Look upward as you plod. Now from this view, the path I see, the journey understood. That they thought evil unto me, but God meant it for good. Psalm 18, verse 30, as for God, his way is perfect. Lord, I pray you would do a work. Lord, continue to work in me. Lord, deepen me. Help me to walk with you. And Lord, I pray you would take this great church, Lord, this dear church and these people. Lord, I pray that it would not live questioning you or discouraged about the trials in life, but Lord, thanking you for what you have. And Lord, using these trials as an opportunity to change the world around them. Well, thank you for what you will do. In Jesus' name, Pastor.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.